In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember that Father Alexander Schmemann used to say that since the fall of mankind, since the fall of Adam and Eve, this world, which had been meant to be an extension of paradise, has become a cemetery, a field of death, where the dead are buried and the dying will be buried. Christ came into the world in order to change that condition of the human race. He came into the world and he did all of the work that his Father had commanded him to do. He did the work of the preaching. He did the work of the revelation of the Father through himself, the incarnate Son. He did the work of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. And Christ himself said at one point, "Father, I have done all that you gave me to do. I have finished all of the work that you gave me to do." But there is something more that needed to be done. If human beings were going to respond to the tree of life that had been planted in the field of death, if we were going to be able to respond as those who live unto death, as a philosopher has once said, we are beings unto death. We are defined by the fact that our lives are limited and we will all come to that point. That is our condition. Christ came into the world and he planted a seed of the tree of life. He planted that seed into this field of death. But if that seed is going to spring up, and if the dead are going to arise, both those who are buried and those of us who still live, but live unto our death and fear death and hedge against it by following the path of the world and are turned away from God. If that new tree of life is going to spring up in the world, our relationship to God has to be changed. One of the things that Christ did as part of his work was to change the orientation to God of his apostles and those who listened to him. St. Nikolai Velimirovic has explained it in this way. Since the fall, mankind has been turned away at an angle from God. The Son of God, the Son of righteousness, the eternal Son that pours his life out on this world, like the physical sun, is constant. It does not change. It is the same as it always was from the beginning. But with the turn away from God, it's like the way the earth is oriented at an angle away from the physical sun during the winter. And since the fall of Adam, it has been a kind of spiritual winter in the world. The light of the world comes into the world, but its warmth, the orientation, is lacking. We receive the light and the warmth of God at an angle. We are oriented in another direction. And just as in the spring, the earth reorients toward the sun and receives the rays of the sun fully and directly, then living things spring up out of the earth. And this is something that has to happen to any human being who is going to be able to respond to the seed of life that Christ came into the world and planted. Our orientation toward God has got to be changed. Jesus Christ prepared his apostles by reorienting them in that kind of way, by making them ready, by their preparation, so that they could receive life directly from God that he would send into the world in its fullness. And so we come to Pentecost, the 50th day after the resurrection, what the Jews used to call a week of weeks, 7 days times 7 weeks is 49 plus 1, and the fullness of the feast has come on the 50th day. And that is the day when the Holy Spirit descends upon those prepared, those who were told to be obedient and not scatter, but stay together, as we heard in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Stay together, be of one accord, and wait patiently. This was the word that Christ gave to his apostles and his disciples. And they obeyed him. They heard his word. You know, the word obey, the root, the meaning of the word to obey is to listen. We can remember when our parents told us, "You're not listening to me." They meant you're not hearing my word. They said, "Well, I listened, I did this, I did that." You're not listening to me, you are not hearing me. That's how it is with obedience between us and God. We listen and we obey. To listen, to truly hear, is to obey. Sometimes in the course of our lives with those who are close to us, our beloved brother, sister, father, mother, husband, wife, will say to us and will be surprised, "You're not listening to me. You're not hearing me." Turn away from your self-oriented involvement with yourself and listen to what I am saying. Hear the words that I am speaking to you. They are coming from inside of me. They are not just sounds in your head. To listen in this way is to obey out of love. St. Nikolai says that perfect love is always ready to listen, to show perfect obedience. Love is always alert with desire and readiness to obey, that is to listen to stop what we're doing and listen to the beloved. This is what our relationship to God needs to be if we are going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ prepared the apostles to be in this condition, awaiting the descent of the Holy Spirit. And from perfect love, St. Nikolai says, comes the stream of perfect joy that makes love a thing of beauty. There are lots of kinds of love, but we are talking about a divine love that we are meant to have, not just between ourselves and God, but also between ourselves and our beloved of this world, so that we can hear them, so that we can hear the words of their heart in our hearts as well. The apostles had been prepared in that way, because if they had not been prepared, the descent of the Holy Spirit would have meant no more to them than it did to the crowds that saw and heard nothing. When he first began his ministry, his teaching, he went to the local synagogue and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." To preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, because only the poor in spirit, those who have been spiritually prepared to be poor in spirit and not arrogant and prideful before God, unable to hear him, unable to obey, only the poor in spirit can hear and love and wait for the Holy Spirit. We can remember on the Pentecost before this new Pentecost, the last time Christ came to Jerusalem during Pentecost, he prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come. And on that last day of the Pentecost, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, when Christ came to Jerusalem for that last Pentecost, he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his body shall flow rivers of living water." But we have to be poor enough in spirit to thirst for what Christ God can give to us, what only Christ God can give to us. If we are drinking from other fountains and we are satisfied with what we find there, then we are disoriented from the direct rays of God. We are turned away from him, and our spiritual lives are winter. Some light comes to us, But in the spiritual winter, very little fruit is produced. Turning toward God and waiting, ready to obey, to listen to his word in obedience. Only in that way can we receive the Holy Spirit. This thirst is a thirst that all human beings have. We are mistaken by being disoriented from God and trying to fulfill the thirst by way of the world. We don't believe in Christ. The apostles believed in Christ because they loved him and they knew him. They knew him after his resurrection. He had taught them for 40 days in his resurrected body before his ascension. They loved him. They were obedient to him. They listened to his word and they awaited upon him. If that were our condition, we too would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not just as a promise as we did when we were baptized and chrismated, but also as the ongoing fulfillment of a life lived by obedience to God. This is what Christ did in order to make it possible for the seed of paradise that he planted in this world to spring up. Our part is that we have to turn and change in this kind of way. Otherwise, the coming of the Holy Spirit will leave us not having noticed that anything at all has happened. During the Divine Liturgy itself, there is a point where the priest prays. Just before the time when we call for the descent of the Holy Spirit, the priest prays, "Make me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Make me a clean heart, ready to obey, ready to hear and listen to what God has to say to us. We have to be poor in spirit. We have to be ready to listen. We have to be ready to accept. We have to be waiting upon, this is an expression I often hear, we have to wait upon the Lord. Usually when I hear it, I feel like the person is saying, well, we'll get the good things that we ask God for, we just have to be patient. I wait upon the Lord. That's not what it means in Scripture. To wait upon God, to wait for him and his time, as the apostles were waiting together, to wait upon the coming of the Holy Spirit, is to maintain a condition of spiritual preparation. The apostles were prepared, and we have intended to prepare ourselves for this day by 40 days of Lenten effort, not to obey rules, but as part of our preparation, by Holy Week, to cleanse ourselves of our love of the world rather than Christ, to be ready to recognize and receive him and have the joy of calling out that Christ is risen. By having that 40 days after Lent and Holy Week and Pascha to reflect and consider how things are in our life as compared to the way they ought to be. It is a continuation of that time of preparation that began at the beginning of Lent. And all of that preparation is for the coming of the great day, the coming of the day of Pentecost. Today, at the Pentecost Vespers, we will kneel and we will ask God to send his Holy Spirit upon us and to renew our spirit. That renewal of spirit that the priest calls for during every divine liturgy. All of us will kneel together. And how have we prepared? How well have we prepared to wait upon the coming of the Holy Spirit? The consequences depend on our preparation. But repentance can be swift if we turn our minds and hearts away from ourselves and wait upon the Holy Spirit of God. He will keep his promise. The promises of Jesus Christ, the promise of the Holy Spirit, is always kept. is never denied. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.